Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm here with my mum and we are sat in central London, Soho.
Yeah. Bit empty darling, I have to say.
What, Soho?
Yeah, not many people about. So they have now taken over half the road for tables for restaurants.
Oh, that's good. I'm trying to find a spot to... It's been a bit chilly, hasn't it? It's kind of gone from being really boiling to windy, and I'm going camping.
What do you mean, when did it go from? It's not been warm at all
yet. Mum, it has been warm.
We had 2 days that were warm, Jess.
Okay, well, now it has dropped, and I am going camping tomorrow, which is slightly worrying. Yeah. But don't worry, I have a very nice box that I've
organised. Well, when you've got over the
lack of... Rick Stein lobster box coming, don't worry about it. So even if it, I hope it doesn't blow away.
It won't go off, will it? It'll be refrigerated. But I'm telling you something, if the cold doesn't get you, the wind and rain will.
Can you stop tapping like you're a politician?
Sorry.
Mum, not only were you just tapping the table, yesterday when I came round for lunch, you've decided to shove me when I'm not looking in your direction.
You go like that. You don't give me
enough attention.
Two
fingers on my arm that's been injected this week. It was assault.
What were you injected for?
Oh, anti-D for pregnancy.
Oh, God.
But anyway, so we are in central London. Yeah. Enough about us and Mum poking me and abusing me.
Yeah.
This is probably...
Probably the biggest...
The biggest guest.
Most international, global superstar.
Look, we've had Dolly.
In the whole world.
We've had Tom Jones.
Yeah.
We've had Ed Sheeran. We've had Kylie. Yeah. But this one is a whopper.
A big one.
We've got Sir Paul McCartney on this episode with his daughter, Mary McCartney.
It's so exciting.
And more excitingly, we're going to be talking about vegetarian food all the time.
I have to say, I've read the cookbook. Mm. And it's a really good cookbook that works.
Well, no, I mean, we'll talk about this.
Really, really is good. It's not daunting. It doesn't frighten you. It's got normal ingredients and it really works.
So to celebrate the new book that's coming out, Linda McCartney's Family Kitchen, which is made by Linda, Paul, Stella and Mary, we've done some recipes from that. Which actually was probably, you probably preferred that, right, Mum?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I felt comfortable making chili con carne.
So we've made
and it wasn't too far away from what I normally use. But what I've discovered is Linda's mince. Because I found it very hard to find good mince substitutes. And this is fantastic.
Well, I think it's new out anyway.
It's the texture and everything's really nice.
So basically we've got a vegan chili coming with Mum's onion rice minus the chicken stock. You've done a
veggie stock.
And we've got a salad and some avocado and cheese is optional. Yeah. I shall be putting cheese on mine.
But I've also made...
What?
Coconut squares.
Oh, and that's a Linda recipe.
That's
a
Linda.
Can you turn your phone off? We're about to meet a sir.
Okay.
A beetle.
Oh, it's eBay saying there's 20% off. Who knew? So I've made these... Do you want to try one now?
I do, but I think I should probably wait. We've got them coming in a minute. It's a bit weird. We're waiting for them and we're in their house or their office.
Their office, darling.
And we're at a big conference table.
Yeah.
So it's pretty you fabulous. Won't be allowed to kiss Paul McCartney today, Mum, because you won't be able to get near him.
Do you know how long I've longed to be near Paul McCartney since I was 15, darling?
You can thank me later, Mum, for just making this shit happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm just looking.
This is your life now, Mum. This is it. Just, you know, cooking for a Beatle.
So actually, I was 13 when this came out. Probably my favourite song. Well, my very favourite song is And I Love
Get
Her.
Get this all out now because we're not going through.
Yeah, I'm going
like...
to Hard Day's Night. I loved the album Hard Day's Night.
Okay.
And I loved the song And I Love Her. It was one of my favourite Beatles songs.
And how old were
songs.
You? 13?
13. So it came out in 1964. I was born in 1951, darling.
Oh, wow, God, I didn't realise.
It's a long time ago.
Sir Paul McCartney and Mary McCartney coming up on Table Manners.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Well, cheers, Laheim. Cheers, yeah, cheers.
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 Thank you for having us. Cheers, cheers, cheers.
Cheers. Bye. And thank you for inviting us and letting us have that lovely cookbook.
Thank you for having us in your office.
Mm.
We're going to have some lunch in a bit. Mum's already opened the bubbly.
Yep.
Didn't
take much.
You just needed Mary to enable it. So. How are you?
Good, thank you. Very well.
Very good. Very happy to be here doing this. Mary's I love good. This podcast.
Oh, you're so sweet. Mary, you've got a new puppy.
I've got a new puppy.
How old?
I'm sleep deprived. He's 11 weeks. He's from Battersea Dogs Home and he is a little ridiculous fluff ball.
What have you called
very
him?
Very cute. Murphy.
Oh, that's a great name.
The only Murphy. Name I could get all of the kids and my husband to agree on. It was like...
Their last dog was called Paddy. like a little Irish
like the
theme
Irish
going.
Thing.
I like it.
So yeah. our Irish heritage.
I know, that's right.
Oh, McCartney, of course.
McCartney.
So
from the Emerald Isle.
I've just got to tell you.
Yes, go on.
That I have loved you for a very long time.
Never heard
you
that
looking
before.
At me?
Yeah, looking at you, Paul. I loved you. I stood outside Granada Studios and screamed, Julie, when you just went in a car.
Just let her get this out. And
I
then
went
we'll talk
to,
about
I
it.
Saw yeah. you perform, I think, at the Ardwick Apollo in Manchester.
Oh, yeah.
And right. you came to my university when I was on the events comm. And you gave us 2 hours' notice and you came with Wings with your mum.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And you came to Birmingham University and I had to ring as many of my friends as possible because you gave us such short notice.
Yeah.
Not sure why.
Do you know what happened? They rented a U-Haul truck. I saw a picture of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could tell this story.
But no, that's good.
It was a U-Haul truck and we all got in and they were like going back to basics because it was after...
Well,
of
I'm forgetting. I'm saying we all got in. You were a little baby. She's a little baby.
The other day, and they just drove, did a road trip, and you say 2 hours' notice because you would go to the car park and then you'd go in and say, "Do you want us to play a gig tonight?"
We just show up at places, universities, because we figured there'd be captive audience. We just show up and we say, "Hello, there's Paul McCartney here. Would you like us to play?"
We thought it was a prank at first. We thought, no, it's not Paul McCartney. And then it was.
And
it was so exciting.
It was 50p on the door.
Yeah.
I thought that was reasonable.
Yeah.
So was this when Wings was just kind of...
It was a very beginning of Wings, yeah. And we just needed to get a little bit of road practice. So that's what was the madcap idea. And we just went up the motorway north. And if we saw a place we liked, we'd sort of ask around, has it got a university here? And then the students' union guy would come out, because he didn't believe
with
it.
His mouth open.
Come out to our van, and like slide the window open. Hello, Paul McCartney. That's how I talk, normally.
And those must have been the first gigs that Mum had ever played in her life.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the first ones.
They were.
And she did a lot of percussion.
Yeah. And good on a tambourine.
Yeah, on her tambourine. Mm. And she looked gorgeous. And we're all fascinated by it.
So what was it like for
but
you,
I love
Mary?
That, Lenny, you were there.
Absolutely
at one of the
there. Must have been, cool. I think it was my second year, 1972.
Yeah.
Not that's my right. third year.
Yeah, I would have been three.
Do you remember touring in those early days? What's what's your memory of that, Mary?
Just, I mean, meeting, it's sort of like a family atmosphere. We all just went along. So it was just, we'd follow around, seeing lots of music, going like wandering around. All the crew, I think, are my biggest memories, like playing around with the crew and the roadies, and, you know, they all became family. Like Mike Wally at the travel agent is still Uncle Mike to this day, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it was very disorganized, but we just wanted to just go out and just sort of find a gig and do it. But it did mean it was crazy. We'd often show up at the place and they'd say, yeah, you can play tomorrow. So we'd have to find a hotel. There was nothing booked. I mean, it was insane.
Did you do that? It was the 70s,
dude.
Did you do that to avoid press knowing about it, or did you just do it because you were
that's
like,
the impression
tomorrow?
We got.
I think that there was a bit
no
of that.
Pressure.
Yeah, I think there was a bit of that. But also it's because we didn't know what we were doing.
Did the gigs go well?
Yeah.
They did. They went very well. Unfortunately, we only knew 11 tunes. So that can go pretty quickly when you're excited. But we used
now
to repeat
a
couple.
A gig.
Fair enough, yeah.
Repeat a couple, and we said, we've had a request to do Lucille. Yeah, I know we did it earlier, but it's
yeah,
request.
Lucille was a high spot, yeah.
Yeah, Lucille. Yeah, Little Richard's Lucille. It was great, I must say. And I think it was a good idea, because it kind of... you know, the alternative for me was to just get a big famous group of people and just carry on at the level the Beatles were on. Mm. But I kind of like the idea of going back to square one and just building it all up again. So that was what we did.
It must have been really satisfying.
It was fun, it was fun. It was quite hair-raising sometimes, you know. You'd find, like, the worst B&B in town to stay with all these kids. And, oh, my God.
Yeah, it was an adventure. Adventurous childhood for me.
You think it was... Mary's friends say she was in a hippie commune.
Yeah, one of my friends used to call me Peace Convoy Child, because you'd see the pictures of me dressed in like dungarees with food around my mouth and little plaits in my hair, and like pull back onto the farm in Scotland, and they were like, really?
It was just a kind of very sort of crazy period, because I'd left the Beatles and I just wanted to be sort of very free. So we just did all the things we'd never done, you know. So
it's a good idea, though, because it was so different. It wasn't like retracing. And then Wings ended up in like 75, 76 doing huge stadium. So
it came round eventually. Yeah, 76, America was big. But I wouldn't do any Beatles songs, and promoters would sort of say, oh, go on, do a Beatles song, you know. I said, nope, this is post-Beatles, we're doing Wings. Or Little Richard, or whatever, you know. It was only when I felt confident enough that we'd now built a new thing, and it wasn't all just going to rely on the Beatles, that I started doing Beatles songs, which of course were the hits.
So
it's the only ones they wanted to hear,
Beatles
really.
Beatles songs now, if when you tour next time, you'll do Beatles songs.
Yeah, I do Beatles songs. Yeah, because I, you know, over the years you get very comfortable with it. You're talking the 70s, and now I'm completely comfortable with it. And I often say to the audience, you know, we know what you like. I said, because when we do a Beatles song, the whole place lights up with your phones like a galaxy of stars. I say, and I know you're all listening. So when we do one of our new songs, it's like a black hole.
But except when you do wing songs like Live and Let Die,
I mean, it was exaggerating,
I actually had a go at him on the last tour, because you were like, it's like Live and Let Die, it's like pyrotechnics, and the pyrotechnics guy is called Shaky, which I love, and all these explosions go on, it's like Live and Let Die, and then suddenly Dad felt like around the piano, he had to have like flaming fireballs going around front and back, and the explosions front and back, and I'm like, Dad, really, like, do you have to like do that to yourself? He's like, but the audience love it. Like, but
well,
they can just
one...
have the pyrotechnics.
Yeah. I mean, we only do one spectacular pyro number in the whole show. The rest is pretty straight, you know. So we thought we'd give it all we've got.
But the flames, I'm like, I can even
flames
feel
flames are
them.
Hot.
Yeah, I'm like, very please, hot. Dad,
sometimes
don't.
You feel the back of your neck get warm.
I'm like begging him.
You smell a singeing.
Do you worry about
I feel
him?
Like when I asked yeah. you, I was like, Dad, please not with the singeing fire flames. I'm sure the next time you had them front and back and they were just in the front. It's like, if you tell him not to do something, he's like, let's add more of them next time.
But so what's it like when you're not playing stadiums and you're not in a tour bus? And back at home, all of you on the farm, were you living on the farm, like, mm-hmm. all together? Like, what was the dinner table? Who was cooking? I presume it was Linda.
Linda, yeah.
And what was, like, one of those memorable meals for both of you?
Ooh, well, we got lots.
Chef Mum's big... Mum was American, so it was lots of big, like, salads, big, like, chef salads.
Yeah.
Lots of it's pasta all vegetarian. Dishes. Mm.
Was she always veggie? When you met her, was she a veggie?
No. No, when we first met...
You should tell the story of how you became
veggie.
Yeah,
when we first met, the Beatles thing had broken up, so it was pretty, you know, difficult with business meetings and things, all the kind of things you didn't want. So we kind of escaped to Scotland, and... we just lived there, and Mary was little, and her elder sister, Heather, was six or so. And we just went and lived up there and improvised. So we were one day, we weren't veggie at that time, so one day we were just eating Sunday lunch, and it was lambing season, so we saw all these lambs.
And you had lambs on the farm?
Yeah, and the lambs on the farm, they're all gambling. And what they do is they run from one end of the field, it's like, to the other. And it's as if one of them says, let's go back. Yeah. And they all go, so it's like just feeling spring and their new lives. And we looked down and we were eating leg of lamb. And we went, oh, okay, wait a minute. Maybe we should do something about this. And that's the moment we went veggie. But
was it tough at the beginning to like change your? Were you a big meat eater before that?
Not really, right, no. Okay. But I mean, I am traditional.
And mum,
you know,
was
I brought
a great
up
cook.
Traditional British cooking.
Mum
so,
was
yeah.
a great cook, and also you and mum, because then you guys sat us down and said, "We've decided we're not going to eat meat anymore." And you were like, "You know, it's your decision when you're outside of home, but we're not going to cook it at home anymore." Mm. And so you were great, mum. There were lots of conversation about food growing up. And that gap on the plate, Dad was like, what are we going to have instead? So we'd debate and talk about it. So I think that's why we've become such advocates for doing Mum's Food Brand and doing the cookbooks and things. And Meat Free Monday is a way of, because not everybody
does.
I didn't
realize like if you somebody, set that, you
yeah,
guys set
well,
that
well, because
up,
of like, that very reason, because if you now today go, you're a grown up and you've grown up in a meat eating family, you go, I want to do this for my carbon footprint and I'm relating to how this got to my plate. I don't want to do it. I mean, I sympathise, and we sympathise. It can be kind of like, well, what am I going to eat then? Yeah. So Mum and Dad, we would just listen to them talking about what else. So that's what we've done ever
since.
Yeah,
we just had to kind of make it up. But as you say, we did eat. I think Linda did the turkey, the best you'd ever tasted it. You know, she just was a really good cook. So the first Christmas, we weren't going to eat meat. It was like, oh, what do we do? Because I was like proud dad. I wanted to carve the bird. Mm-hmm. I saw that as like a traditional role, you know. And so we had to work something else out. So we did. We had what we called a macaroni turkey.
Oh, tell me about a macaroni turkey.
Well, it's basically a mac and cheese.
That sounds pretty great.
Good mac and cheese.
It's a baked mac and cheese, so it's firm. So
baked mac and cheese, and then it's firm. And you leave it overnight, sort of in the fridge.
Yeah.
So it gets even firmer. And then I can carve it the next day.
She knew you needed that carving. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
And the other one was barbecuing. Again, you know, I saw that. I was like... Yeah, I should be the guy out by the barbecue.
So what we put on the barbecue.
But then, the thing is, Mum would do the cookbooks to give ideas. People would go, God, if I could eat, they'd come to our house for dinner. And then people would say, look, if I could eat like this, I'd eat more veggie. And eventually she did the book. She'd hand it to them and go, look, you can, here's some ideas. Yeah. And that did so well that then she was approached buy a frozen
food. Was that called home cooking? Yeah.
And then she was approached and they said, could we adapt some of your recipes into a food line? And that's how the food range came about. So now we can do barbecues with her veggie burgers and the sausages, and we have a roast that we can do. So it's all, we're not baking the macaroni turkey anymore at home.
The cookbook is the same cookbook from...
The new cookbook is adapting. Because I worked with her on a lot of her food. We'd always, as I say, me and Dad and Mum and all our family would talk about food. And she just said she would do it now, but adapt the ingredients. So things where she might use butter, she might use olive oil. So we've sort of updated and refreshed.
Can I say?
It's quite exciting.
I'm not... a natural vegetarian.
I know you're not.
And I found that
Mary
cookbook.
You love vegans.
I love them.
You feel very lucky.
But I found
these
that cookbook really easy to follow. It was how I would cook.
Yeah.
So I do veggie things. Yeah. I diet and it's more healthy to
and
eat.
And also, my husband's very. A flexitarian, which I think you kind of, you know, we talk about. He really wants to implement it into
And save the planet.
Well, it makes sense.
But, but I thought your recipes were very easy to follow.
Fantastic.
And they work really well.
And talk about
and
the
I also mince. Must tell you about the veggie mince. So I think it's the best veggie mince that I've ever used.
And we've tried many
of
veggie mince.
I've used lots of veggie minces and there's nothing as good as that.
Well, the thing is, we've been doing it a long time, and that goes back to the beginning of your story. Yeah. That you've been, you know, you and Mum went veggie, in the 70s?
Yeah.
So I think we've perfected it.
There was nothing there.
It's a very good cookbook because it's not frightening ingredients either. I mean, there are things that you're familiar with.
That's
and
good.
Really tasty. Well, I think it's a...
part of the idea for the cookbook and the recipes that I've done as well is to make, because people are like, if you eat veggie, it's like more ingredients, it takes longer, it's more fuss. So that's exactly what we try
you're
not
kind
to
of
do.
Kind of veggineers,
so like
aren't
accessible
you?
Ingredients.
Veggineers.
Yeah.
I like
it. I like
it.
Can
I have that for the name of my next cookbook?
Yeah, the veggineers.
Oh my God, I'm making that for the next cookbook idea. Yeah,
veggineers.
But I mean, you know, your family were revolutionary at the time.
It is revolutionary.
I'm so proud of them, honestly. And it was Mum and Dad. It really was. Mum, like, obviously was the cook. And everyone would be a bit like, oh, I'm sure everyone wants to eat meat in your family. But really, you and Mum together were like always talking and so positive about it that you never felt like you were missing out, which
so
I think
Mary,
is...
when you had friends back
I want to know about schoolmates.
Did they
back.
Mind?
No.
Or was it
I
all a bit
they
curious?
They liked to know because Mum was such a great cook. Going back to the salad thing,
yeah.
I went to my best friend Sue's house and her Mum was like, do you want salad with your pasty, whatever? And I said yes, and I was like, what is she doing? She sliced a piece of cucumber and a slice of quarter of tomato and a lettuce leaf and poured salad cream on it. And I'm like, what is that? Because you come to our house.
That's a British salad.
And actually it was delicious because I didn't have salad cream. But Mum would have like this huge salad bowl and you chuck everything in it and toss it with the, you know, salt dressing.
So great.
So our friends loved coming to
What was your favourite thing that your mum cooked? What was your special, like, birthday meal?
I mean, my
comfort
thing was her tomato soup, always.
Yeah.
We'd
been to the south of France, and there's a lovely hotel down in the south of France called Beaumanier in Les Baux. Very posh, like only 9 rooms.
Oh, wow.
Super posh. And I don't know how we'd heard about it, but anyway, we went down there. And
Grandpa,
you know,
used to go there, maybe.
It was really good, and, you know, and Linda and I would go in have a little meal and sort of being all very romantic in the French place. And they had this bisque d'homard, which was lobster soup. And it looked great and everything. But then when we were veggie, she made that as a tomato soup.
Fantastic.
So it was kind of pink and very lovely,
gorgeous.
You know. So that was one of her great things. That was
literally
often
my favourite.
Started my birthday meal. And then a quiche.
Yeah.
She made the most amazing quiche. I mean, that sort of sat up and bubbled. You know, it wasn't some quiches you get and they're just sort of flat.
Yeah.
You
know, when
this
I,
was like...
Dad, you
lovely.
Know when I left home, I made a quiche and it just was like, didn't flat. Rise. And I phoned Mum.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the heck? Why does yours... Because Mum would take it out and it was like this showstopper, like a souffle. And simple, turn the oven up to 200. It needs to cook at a higher heat. It fluffs up. It was literally all I needed to know.
Oh, wow.
So, okay, yeah. Well, let's go. This is what we ask everybody, and Mary knows this. Last Supper, starter, main, pud, drink of choice. You can either combine or you can go solo, both of you.
No, why don't we have a family meal together?
We will have a family meal. Let me start with my margarita.
Oh, yeah. Dad makes
the best margarita.
Really?
Not a pizza margarita.
Yeah. So that's actually what I do.
Salt around the edge?
Yes. I do, we call it a macarita. Yeah. Actually,
a macarita.
I mean, is it going to be in the line? Are we going to put
have
a little
to say, song?
The recipe. Dad, let me put the recipe in my food cookbook. Actually,
God, why is it so good? Come on, tell
us.
So,
I mean, all it is, it's a normal margarita. But,
it's not a normal margarita. But it's the best margarita.
Orange juice in it.
Oh, wow.
So a normal margarita is tequila, Cointreau or triple sec, and then lime.
Yeah,
it's a little bit tart for me, so. To that, I add. So if I go to a restaurant, this is what you'll hear me say to the barman. Could I have a margarita, please? And I'd like it straight up with salt just around the outside of the rim. And I can explain that if he needs it. And then I say, and to your normal recipe, just stick some orange juice, a couple of dashes of orange juice in the shaker.
Mm. Oh, said, wow. So then you don't need agave, it's just sweetened with that.
That is good.
And if they do the salt on the inside, I'm going to sound obsessive here.
No.
But if they do it on salt, you have this great drink, and then the last sip is salt.
You've drunk a few margaritas in your time, Paul.
Which one do you like the best?
No, that's true. Like it's my.
And don't you now, like haven't it. You developed it? Because you're asking about the favourite tequila. Do you still use a blank, like two types of tequila, or have you moved away to just one again?
No, I use, you know, to mix it up, I sometimes use two types of tequila.
Which ones?
Which ones? Like
silver and dark.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know there were two colours.
Yeah, there's Blanco and
Never
Blanco.
Learned,
you're still
baby.
On Cosmopolitan. You still think you carry Bradshaw, yeah.
We need a margarita night, Lenny.
Absolutely.
Honestly, they're the best. Yeah. So we have, we're definitely, can we have, so we're going to have Dad's margarita with nuts and olives.
All right.
Just to sort of get ready.
Yeah.
Then can we have the tomato soup?
Yeah.
I would like to add something. About the tomato soup.
She would make it like the beast. So she would have celery, onions, fresh tomatoes, and then she'd grind it through a thing so that you would get all of the flavours, but then take away the pulp. And then she'd mix cream into that and season it.
Are you allowed
cream?
Honestly,
the most delicious. Alpro soya, single soya cream works perfectly.
I didn't even know there was one.
Your soya cream works really well. You just don't put it in hot. You put it in cooler and warm it up.
Okay.
And actually, I would argue it actually tastes better because it actually soaks in the flavours meld in better.
So you were going to add something before I rudely interrupted asking for your mother's tomato soup recipe. You were like, I'm going to add something here.
Oh, I'm going to add, and I know it's not really going to fit in with, because the
Last Supper
can be anything.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. I'm going to add, because we are a family obsessed with sandwiches. Completely.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
I'm obsessed. Like, I could almost have, for me personally, the whole thing just be toast, sandwich, French
cheese and tomato sandwich would be my
everything.
One of, has been on
so
my
So I'm
going
to have the mum's tomato soup, and I'm going to have one of Dad's sandwiches on
Why,
the side.
Are you the sandwich?
I love soup
I'm
sandwich.
The sandwich king.
So what I've heard about, on Adam Buxton's, I heard about the bagel with the Marmite
it's
and the hummus.
Everything.
Okay, so sandwich. I've always said, you know, if my career tanks, I'm going to get one of those little bikes and a little thing on the front, and I'm going to go around selling sandwiches, probably going to the city where they've got a captive audience. I've got it all worked out.
Isn't that the cutest thing
I
ever?
I love it.
I'm going to be buying them.
Yeah.
So what are the fillings?
Here's what I do.
What's a hero?
I mean, again, it's going to sound a bit obsessive, but I don't care. It is
well,
what
I'm
I
having
do.
It in my last meal, so you need to be.
Oh,
got to
be
it.
Obsessive. Okay.
Embrace the obsessive.
What I do is I get a nice onion bagel.
You love
from
bagels.
Panzers.
I love
from
onion
Panzers.
From Panzers.
Oh,
we love Panzers.
Yeah.
Panzers.
Do you freeze them?
So get a nice fresh Panzers bagel.
Yeah, onion.
And then an onion, and then I cut it in three.
Yeah.
So it's kind of slimish.
Okay.
Because bagels are pretty weighty. So,
Like a finger of bagel.
No, they're thin, so it's almost like a
club
sandwich.
Normal bagel, but I just slice them into three.
Instead of like a club sandwich bagel.
Yeah.
I like this. Yeah, I like it.
Believe
me.
Believe you haven't heard anything yet.
I'm ready.
So I do. Let's say if I'm making one sandwich, pop two of those in the toaster.
Yeah.
Toast them. And then the first thing I will put on it, depending on who I'm making it for.
You're making it for my last meal.
It's for you. You like Marmite?
I like everything you do.
She likes Marmite. Okay.
I'm not afraid of anything you put in a sandwich.
All right. So for Mary, I would just, first of all, when it comes out of the toaster, spread a little bit of Marmite on it.
Because can I stop
you? Get a bit of taste.
Dad has turned the world onto Marmite and hummus. On a bagel,
you
on
can
a toasted
buy it.
Bagel.
Now you can
was
buy
that because
it mixed?
Of you?
Yeah.
No, it's just the best thing in the world.
I'm not
I
claiming
it.
It
for you, and you weren't keen.
No, but I don't think I'd want it mixed. I think
his
afternoon stack at
the
studio is a cup of tea and a toasted bagel with Marmite and hummus. Anyway,
carry on with the sandwich. That's right. I did try the Marmite and hummus, and I don't want to put them down because I love Marmite and I love hummus, and they're new products. It's okay. But not as good as separately. Anyway, so I'll put some Marmite on this toasted bagel, and I will work on the bottom of the bagel.
Yeah.
Put the top over there.
Yeah.
Ready. And then I will then, because the bagel's got a hole in the middle of it, I will then get some lettuce to stop the hole, stop everything falling through. Yeah, genius, I will admit.
I mean, forget about the songwriting. And then bagel maker.
Can you see why I wanted him to describe this? Because now I have a record of how to do it.
So you have a bed of lettuce
so
to make sure lettuce you don't lose any filling.
Marmite, lettuce,
hummus. Okay. Now any particular homemade?
San Ambrose.
It's called Ambrosia.
San Ambrose.
It's
so good. And they sell that at Panzers as well.
Okay.
It's a really nice, it's almost like a whipped hummus, and I don't know why, but it's lighter, and it's the only one that my kids will eat.
Now. Yeah, so you put hummus in it, and then anything goes. You know what I'll do is I'll make a few slices of cheese.
So hang on, can I stop you? So that is basically the base. It's got to be Marmite, lettuce, hummus, and then anything that's
anything
in
goes.
The area. Okay.
So then
I like that.
I will slice a little bit of cheddar cheese, into little slices, arrange that on the hummus.
Yeah.
Where it kind of sticks to the hummus.
Sinks in.
It was not going to move.
Would you get a gherkin?
Not going anywhere.
It sinks in.
Would you do a pickle?
Well, yeah.
Ooh, a gherkin.
Yeah.
Not like a
little bit of, no, dill pickle sliced.
Yeah.
Lovely. You know, I got some from Panzers the other day. They were nice.
The only thing I'm worried about is you toasting the bagel.
Can I say?
You don't like them toasted?
Lenny, you need
to
just trust it and just go with it. None of it makes any sense, but it's the best thing you've ever tasted.
I just don't. You see, if you have a Manchester bagel, they're superior to any bagel in the whole of the universe.
Really?
Did Liverpool get?
You're not from Manchester, are you, by any chance?
But they're chewier. They're crispy on the outside and very chewy.
You're not going to get three slices out of a Manchester bagel.
No, you're not. No. They're smaller.
You're going more kind of New York style bagel, yeah? Are we talking kind of?
Yeah, well, I mean, because Linda was from New York, so I wouldn't have known what a bagel was. We had a lovely housekeeper called Rose for years and years and years. She got bagel. Bigel.
London, they say bigel.
But also, I think it's just, even people who haven't got the London accent, some Jewish people call it bigel.
Yeah, they say bigel.
Rose was with Mum before.
So anyway,
Rose was with Dad before Mum and Dad met. And when you met Mum, Rose was Dad's housekeeper before.
You want the Rose story?
I want the Rose story.
East End genius. She was the best.
I was living on my own in the 60s. And I needed someone.
I can
someone.
Barely believe that.
I know.
I just want to say.
Occasionally. No. So I needed someone to kind of help, you know, with the house and stuff. I was hopeless.
A woman's touch.
And a woman's touch, yeah. So I asked a guy out of our office, you know, if he could look around, see if he could find someone. And anyway, he came back. He said, well, this lady called Rose, would you like to see her? So I said, yeah. So I'll have an interview. So she came in, and she had bright red lips. She had a black turban on. She was very exotic.
Henna's red hair.
Red hair. So I said, "Oh, hi, you, have you, is it you that's come about the housekeeping job?" "Yeah, all right, yeah, Rose, real Rose. Cockney.
Proper Cockney. Cockney girl.
Cockney girl, spelt G-E-L. anyway, yeah, so she was great, and she loved the kids, and we just
then when you
with
met
us
Mom,
forever.
She basically...
When I met Mom, yeah, Linda, I'd had occasional girlfriends to the house, I must admit, but
it
I was young, I was carefree, I was, you know...
And it was the 60s.
It was the 60s. So Rosa kept quiet, but then when Linda came around, she said, "I like this one, Paul.
Oh,
I like that one.
Sweet.
She's all right." So that was really the seal of approval, you know.
And I think Mum looked in your fridge and saw like a hard rind of cheese and like
and a half, half sour bottle of milk.
I mean, not only was she a beauty, but did she, the way to your heart was through your stomach, did she cook for you? What was the first meal that Linda cooked for you? Do you remember?
Well, that's going back. I mean, she made a mean scrambled egg, that kind of thing. Was I love that, you know. But she did say to me, you know, "Well, what do you want to eat tonight?" I go, "Oh, anything. She said, "No, I'm looking for menu suggestions." And I hadn't understood that till then. Why women?
And I agree.
Do that, you know?
Because it's the thinking about what you're going to cook. If you told us what you would like to eat, that was so much easier
really
than me working out.
But Lenny, you know what I love? Because when I'm cooking for people, like if I was cooking for you guys, I'd be like, "Well, I want." And do you do this, you guys? I would think about you guys and think, what can I feed them that they're going to like? Not like I'm cooking this for you. So that's why Mum would have been like, "What do you want?" Because it's you cook for people to make them happy and please them, and you just want to see people's faces light up, don't you?
That's a great instinct in a cook. Mary's definitely got that. Linda had it, which is like, you know, it's not work. She actually wants to put a meal on the table where you go, "Whoa, it's fantastic!" You know, so I think it's
well,
a
that's
great
the ultimate, isn't it? Yeah. That's the ultimate happiness.
Mum,
when you
I don't
do
feel like sounds as
I don't think I'm as kind-hearted as that. I'm so
you're
tired.
You're like
she's
sitting there.
Yeah, she's like, "I've been cooking this
yourself
all day." But yeah, I'm okay. So we've got the bagel and we've got the tomato soup. Now, would we say that's a preemie? Are we going for a main?
Yeah, that's a preemie. Because if this isn't going to make sense, obviously you wouldn't have it.
No,
really,
no,
in
real
life, actually, I would have that for lunch.
Mm. Yeah.
The soup and sandwich I love for lunch. And then we'd
you
go.
Can go on
then
to
we'd go.
Meal.
Then
what
we'd get the margarita with the olives and the nuts.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah.
salted, roasted cashew nuts you like.
Yeah.
And then we'd go on for a big Sunday roast with all the trimmings.
That'd be good.
McCartney vegetarian style with all the gravy and the
it's
stuffing.
It's funny because I've actually met you before, Paul, quite accidentally. I gatecrashed one of your Christmas dinners.
I'm going to put some food on. Are you starving?
Yes.
You did.
I mean, I didn't gatecrash.
You were invited.
I was a plus one because a producer called Paul Epworth was invited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was working with him that day. But I was not only working with him, but my friend and producer of my first record, Dave Akumu.
You met Paul from Air Studios as well. Paul Epworth.
It was a
you've worked
year.
With Paul Epworth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Paul had been invited to your Christmas do.
Right.
And he was in the studio with me and he was like, "Listen, I'm really sorry, but I've got to go to Paul McCartney's Christmas do." And he went, "I can see whether you can come." And you were very sweet and accommodating. You let us come.
And how good was the food?
So good. Yeah. Tofurkey you had. So you had this full like Christmas dinner.
Everything
was there. Everybody was there.
Did you get the little party favour?
I'm not sure. I think because we were supposed to be writing a song. So we came, we ate, we said hello. And it was like full of family and friends. And it was just such a lovely atmosphere. But it was a full Christmas dinner roast.
Yeah.
And it was such a lovely
so this
spread.
This would be more like a Sunday roast,
right?
I think. But but you can also do it for Christmas. But I think we definitely have Yorkshire puddings.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And when I was a kid, my mum used to make Yorkshire pudding. But because it was called Yorkshire pudding, we had it as a pudding. We didn't have it like... With the beef and that.
Yeah.
She always just had it afterwards.
With something?
With golden syrup.
So
that's
good.
That's a good idea.
Have you never had it?
No.
Hot oh, my goodness.
Yorkshire pudding with golden syrup on it.
Ugh.
I mean, this is, we're talking, there's a little bit of working class creeping in here.
I can actually show you pictures on my phone of me eating that recently, and I got one in my hand and I just had a squeezy bottle of it and I just squeezed it on and stuck it.
That's how we used to do it, you know, and it was funny.
So we do both now.
Years later, you know, you'd meet people and say, well, do you want your Yorkshire pudding? You say, yeah, well, dessert. No, they say, it's with your main meal. We go, oh,
but
no.
But Jess, you're not looking convinced. No, but I'm golden syrup?
I mean, I don't think golden syrup. I feel like I've been told not to like golden syrup because it's... I don't know.
You can't make a flapjack. We can't make a flapjack without golden syrup.
I'm very up for this, and I think my children would be up for this.
Yeah.
And I like the versatility that you've
offered
up.
So what we do now is, Dad,
you can do both, you see. You can have, that's what we do.
That's what we do, because the kids love it with the gravy and all the steamed veg and the roast. And then I always, because Dad has got me into this, and I know he has to have it as dessert, when the Yorkshire puddings come out, I hide them. And Simon is the Yorkshire pudding, like, taught us. My husband, Simon, taught us how to make Yorkshire puddings.
Because they're hard to do well.
Yeah, he's the Yorkshire pudding guy. But I'll nick a portion and hide it away because I'm like, we cannot have it where they've all been eaten and Dad doesn't get his.
But I can understand.
The golden syrup.
Thank you, Mary.
I'm going to try this. I also feel like, and maybe this is blasphemous, so please tell me if your mother would not have been approved of this, Paul.
What?
A bit of custard, maybe that could work. Yeah. A bit of bread. It could be like a. Oh, you're looking at me.
A bit of what?
A custard
on the Yorkshire.
No, I wouldn't want that.
No, you'd have it like personally, quite straight. Yeah.
Personally, but I think we're getting here that you can do what you
revolting.
Want.
Revolting.
Really. No, I like this.
would find that.
Okay, fine. I won't do that for you at my Christmas dinner.
Custard. Bit of custard. No.
We have to have the Yorkshire pudding with loads of red onion, homemade gravy.
Lovely.
I reckon.
Steamed. I get to carve
you
the
get
roast.
To, we're going to have Mum's roast.
Yeah,
and we're going to you're going to carve
what
it.
What will the and what will the I say meat? Oh no, not,
roast
I'm not even
potatoes.
Going to say that. So would you even have a kind of pretend meat component?
Yeah, we do
component.
The Linda McCartney roast.
Okay, fine.
They're really delicious. We make a couple of them. Dad will be slicing them.
Uh huh.
Roast potatoes.
And we got all the other stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
really
like towering.
Then the stuffing.
Stuffing.
Fantastic.
Mum taught me how to make the stuffing. It's all like delicious. It's like
cranberry
sage,
sauce.
Sagey.
It sounds like your mum was a very generous teacher because, I mean, you've listened to her. My mum never taught me. She told me to back off when she was doing the bechamel. She told me to back off. That was... Listen, it's
just
working
get back in
now.
The kitchen.
What she really meant to say was thanks, Mum. You
thanks,
are my
Mum.
Inspiration.
Listen, I was a greedy cow, so I was learning. I was
learning. Mum wanted company in the kitchen, and Mum made it that it was the most fun place in the house.
Was,
so you would be anywhere and you'd
room,
smell
yeah.
the food and you'd gravitate to the kitchen and you'd just be chatting and cooking and that's how we learnt to cook.
Yeah, they would just watch their mum cook. And she'd
you
do some clever little
lot.
Things. She'd sort of say, well, you know, do you want to sort of cut these onions up? Chop it. So she'd engage them in, oh, great, you did the onions. Wow. Well, now do the celery.
Dad's a good sous chef, aren't you? You would always help chopping.
Yeah,
mashed
I like
potato.
Chopping. Yeah.
Should
like
we have
that.
Your mash for this as well? Can we get ready?
Well,
because we're doing
about...
everything.
No,
Dad
absolutely.
Makes the best mashed
well,
potato.
Well, I make a sort of decadent. Mashed potato.
But really nicely, like, mashed and whipped. And you use a fork at the end to stop the lumps going in. You won't have any lumps in your mash.
Yeah.
So do you... Oh, it's like the really fancy when you get it in Claridge's and it's like the pomme de... And it's like... It's really pureed, like it's,
but it's
silky.
Not, it is, but it's just very home. You know, you don't put it through any of those rices.
No, I just, you know, boil some potatoes.
And is that on YouTube?
When they're perfectly soft... Mash them with that thing that's got like a grill on it.
Yeah, the mashed potato. It's only used
it's
for
called
a masher,
the potato
it?
Masher,
yeah,
probably.
Oh, really? Yeah, maybe.
Probably. It's science. But, you know, mash it with that and then, like Mary says, do maybe a fork to get any rogue lumps. And some milk in it. And then butter.
Yeah, loads.
That's the thing. And then really whip that up, great. And if you want to go crazy, very finely chopped onion.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
Yeah.
So there's two things, Dad, on YouTube that I think are the best things that you can Google about you. Number one is your mashed potato recipe, which you filmed.
Just look me up.
Number two, when usually if I'm like at the end of the night at a party and I had a couple of drinks, I'll be like, Google Paul McCartney eye yoga.
Eye yoga.
And Dad has done his, he doesn't wear glasses still. And when he was in India, he learned eye yoga and he's actually filmed it and put it on YouTube for people who want to. Because it's a muscle.
What is eye? Well, can you do me a little bit of eye yoga right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I learned off some, you know, yogi in India.
In the 60s?
No, it was even more recent. But anyway, he's explained that your eyes are muscles, whereas your ears aren't. So you can't, like, exercise your ears.
Yeah.
But your eyes, you can. Then you can. So. Yeah, so what it is
you can just
head
Google
still.
It.
You can Google it, yeah. Head
I just
still.
Want to see what happens with the eyes.
Head still. Yeah. Head still. And then you just look up as far as you can. 1, 2, 3. And then go back to the middle. Then down. 1, 2, 3. And back to the middle. You do 3 lots of that.
It's like ballet.
Or up yoga. And down. Yeah. And then back to the center. And you go to the left. 2, 3. Center to the right, 2, 3, and you do 3 lots of that left and 3 lots of the right. So now you've kind of got like a cross, up and down and sideways.
Yeah.
Now you do the diagonals. You go up to the top, diagonal, and then
we're
down
all doing it now, by the way.
Listeners. We are all doing it. Everyone join in who's listening. All together now.
Anyone looking in the window, think we're mad.
I do it in the park sometimes, walking the dog, and people think I'm really weird.
It can look a bit weird.
So, and it stops you wearing glasses.
He doesn't wear glasses.
Do you wear glasses?
I don't wear glasses, but not yet. But Dad does.
Have you been doing eye yoga for a while?
If my eye, I start feeling like I need glasses, I start doing Dad's eye yoga, and it feels like exercising.
Do you think it can reverse my bad eyesight?
Pretty good. I don't know. I know someone, a friend of mine, who's like a film director, and I'd got chatting about his family, and he said, "Oh, my daughter's just going for." Glasses, just going to go and get some specs. Mm. And I said, well, tell you what, before she goes, let me tell you this. So I sort of did a little diagram, wrote it all out. And he took it to her. And apparently then she didn't need specs for like quite a few years. It really improved her eyesight.
This is very fascinating.
It's
you
pretty
know what?
Good
Even
stuff,
if it
yeah.
doesn't, it
well,
actually
it makes sense,
feels
though,
good.
Doesn't it? You know, makes sense if they are muscles. And so you do that, and I always remember that like the Union Jack.
Yeah.
So up, down, the diagonals. And then you go into the middle, crossing
like
your eyes.
Every day.
But looking at your nose.
You look in the end of your nose. You do it like 1, 2, 3. 3 sets of that.
It's hard to do that on the other way out.
And that's the one, if you're like in the gym and you're seen doing that, you can look a bit weird. And then even weirder, then you roll your eyes right around in a circle.
Yeah.
And you do like that, 5, 6. And then you go the other way, 5, 6. And then the last thing is you look at a distant object. Mm. So that's like your long vision. Mm. And then you look at the lines on your hand. So you pull focus. So that's a good thing, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It all makes sense, you know. And I mean, I don't know, that's why I don't need glasses when I'm like reading a newspaper, but.
I think that's really impressive.
So it makes sense, you know.
Potatoes.
It's a good idea.
That's eye yoga and mashed potatoes. Everyone should Google it.
I'd have this right after the mashed potatoes.
You talked about your mum and the Yorkshire pudding and the golden syrup. What is a very memorable meal from your childhood, Paul?
Pancakes.
Oh, was she good at pancakes?
Pancake Tuesday.
Oh. Did you have it not just like, Shrove Tuesday? You had it every Tuesday?
No. Crepes? It was just Shrove Tuesday, but that was so exciting when it finally came around.
Were they like crepes?
Yeah, but you'd just make piles of them and go, whoa, can I have another pancake, Mum?
What was your filling that you chose in it?
And,
lemon and sugar?
I like sugar.
Yeah.
Which in those days were white sugar. Nobody knew there was such a thing as brown sugar. But white sugar and then lemon juice.
Coming. This looks delicious.
And then roll that
Smells
up.
Good.
Was your mum a good cook?
She was a good cook. Yeah.
Mum, sorry, just having a chat.
Sorry. Mum, we're doing a program here, Mum.
Yes, sorry. I like flowers and salad.
Edible flowers. We thought, you know,
they look so healthy. Like to eat flowers and the colour. Anyway.
So your mum used to do what was the meal that your mum used to
do? She would do what I'd call traditional British.
Yeah, meat and two veg.
Yeah, chops.
Yeah.
Steak, rarely, you know, beef.
Yeah.
Scouse, which is Scouse. Liverpool.
Scouse.
It's Jessica? Liverpool.
What?
I've really not educated
No.
Her. Yeah. It's a stew. Scouse
it's always
a stew.
Like it's just
Peter
on the
makes
I thought it was going to be something about Liverpool.
It's like an Irish stew.
Oh, it's okay. The famous Scouse.
It's like an Irish stew. And then if you don't have the meat in it, they call it blind Scouse. I'm sure that's not very PC, but that's what they call it. Don't look at me, love. Yeah, so she would do all of those things.
Did she have much time to cook? Because she was a midwife.
She was a nurse, a midwife, wow. Sister on a ward.
Yeah.
And her mode of transport was a little bicycle, little bag on the front. It's like called the midwife.
Mum's obsessed with it.
You know,
she loves
that's,
it.
That's her era.
And her name was Mary.
And it was Mary.
So you're named after.
Mary
and
Patricia.
And so Let It Be as well is about her.
Like the song Let It Be,
dream,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mother Mary. Oh, yeah.
Because I had a dream and I woke up after the dream and she had come to me in the dream. So it was a lovely dream because she died a few years before.
You were 14, weren't you?
When I was 14, yeah. So she died probably 6 or 7 years before that. But so here she was in a dream, and it's a miracle when someone you've lost is there in the dream, and you go, wow, great to see you. You know, this is great because all the old feelings come back. You know, it was pretty emotional, yeah. But and I was in a bit of a rough state, 60s, doing too much of this and too much of that. Mm. And she sort of looked at me in the dream. She said, don't worry, son. It's going to be all right. It's all going to be all right. Mm. Just let it be.
Do you want to help yourself?
Yes.
Or you help
do you want me to do your play?
Yeah.
And did you, when you woke up from that dream, did you feel like things changed? Do you feel like you calmed down a bit?
Yeah, definitely, yeah, yeah. And I thought that
and you
was
wrote
great.
A, you wrote great a great thing. Song.
It was a great thing for her to say, you know. I mean, you work it out. It's actually me in my brain saying it.
Yeah.
But in the dream, it was her saying it. And I thought, wow, that's really good advice, you know, just let it be. So, then I wrote the song.
Did
she get a writing credit on that one? She should do, shouldn't she? Yeah. Title by Mary.
Oh, yeah, he's not a
Coriander. But, yeah, her stuff was very traditional. And the only one thing, I mean, I didn't like everything we had.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're typical kids. Mm. I don't like that. Oh, I don't like that. The one thing we really wouldn't go near was... tongue.
Mum, I love you so much.
Sorry, I'm just listening to the story.
We're having a moment too, Mary.
What do you want me to do? Cook
listeners, this is a little family dispute.
This is family.
What's going on here? I'm sorry, but these women are completely out of control. We'll hand you over now.
There you go.
Do you two fight at all? Do your family fight? I feel like you're so polite to each other.
Yeah, occasionally.
But we don't think this is fighting. We just think we're disagreeing.
Tell me to do the food. You sit on your ass, and then I do the food, and then you're telling me to
listen,
be quiet.
Listen, we'll discuss this later. Thank you.
I'm sorry about this, listeners. But I think we'll now take a little piece of music.
Stop trying to get allies, Mum.
No, I wasn't. Mary was...
Paul McCartney's apologising to our listeners.
Oh, my God.
He obviously, you don't realise, this happens in every episode.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Where are some of your favourite spots to go in London, or, you know, you have your place in Sussex, don't you?
You'd love that in New York. Yeah. That was a beautiful moment.
So my wife's from New York, so we eat in New York.
But talk about that. Told me that.
I would say the River Cafe.
Love the
London.
River Cafe.
Have you been since definitely. It's reopened?
Yeah, yeah. Just outside. Went the other night. Actually,
oh,
yeah.
Lovely!
It's the best.
It's all outdoors, but it's
heaven.
It's the ingredients are just the best ingredients. And also it's home cooked. I actually went there one morning because I obviously obsessed with food. And I emailed Ruthie Rogers and she let the chef there, and she let me go in one morning. And I realised just I love to observe things. And I just she let me go in and observe everyone. And I think one of the reasons it's probably one of the best London restaurants is everyone comes in. So whether you work behind the reception, whether you're a waiter or a chef, they all come in the morning, they all prep together.
Oh, really?
So that, and then she and the head chef sit down and write the menu each day anew. So the whole thing. Also, that place in New York you loved, ABC.
Yeah, there's a great kitchen. Place in New York. ABCV.
So the kitchen, kitchen or?
ABC kitchen.
So good.
It's great. But then next door to it, he's made one. The chef is like Jean-Pierre or something.
Right.
So the food at ABC is great, but then he's made one next door called ABCV.
How good is this food, by the way?
This is great.
Can I just interrupt to say thank you? It's delicious.
Thank your mother, because this is the recipe.
No, it's really nice.
It's so delicious. This
and it's perfectly spiced. It's not, because Dad, you don't like too spicy, but it's got enough of a kick.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's delicious.
Absolute thank you, Mum. Sorry. Thank you, Mum. It's delicious. I love you very much. I appreciate you every single
you
day.
You need to appreciate your mum.
I do.
The argument has finally subsided. And it looks like we're
you can add conflict resolution.
I'm going to provoke them again in a minute. Don't worry.
So, Mary, where are some of your favourite spots in London?
I love River Cafe as well. I love... A friend of mine has a restaurant which I really love called Pharmacy with an F, F-A-M, which is a vegan restaurant in Notting Hill, but also it's got a really great cocktail bar, Lenny's. And actually, you don't know this, day on my Serves It Up, my cooking show, I did these smoky dogs.
Ooh.
Which are these homemade, so you can put them in a bun and put all the mustard and mayo. And they're doing that on May the 17th when everything reopens. They're doing... my smoky dogs on the menu.
Oh, that's amazing.
I've been there a few times doing food tape, but I love that kind of food because I love food that doesn't feel too righteous. So it's nutritious, but it can still be like this. Yeah. It's like chili and rice. And if it's too healthy, I'm just going to want crisps and a chocolate bar afterwards. So this is perfect.
I've got a few more questions for you. I mean, we could carry on, but listen, I don't want to be like bad fish that's overstayed our welcome and it starts smelling. So we didn't get your pudding
Although
for your
we
last
don't eat
supper.
Fish, Jessie.
Oh, no, sorry. Well, then it's...
sea life, not sea food.
Forget that. That's getting out
of here. Have you seen Seaspiracy?
No, I need to see that.
Yeah, you do and you don't. You maybe just don't eat fish anymore and then you don't have to watch it.
Okay, fine.
It's
fine.
Up to you. Fine. You either have to be tortured and watch
ignorance
it or just
bliss,
say
otherwise.
I'm not.
I also made your coconut thing.
Yeah.
Coconut bar. Anyway, sorry.
No, but I was going to say, so mum did the coconut chocolate bars for you that are in the cookbook. And then I wanted to know, we didn't get the pud. Thanks. For your last supper. Now, I don't know if it is going to be the Yorkshire pudding with the Tate and Lyle, or you're going to go for a different pudding.
It could be the Yorkshire pudding, or it also could be rice pudding.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What, I like rice pudding. No.
Why?
From a can.
I like it in the can. Go on, fancy pants?
I must say, when we were on hitchhiking holidays as kids, that ambrosia creamed rice was good.
No, mum made a baked, which your Auntie Jin taught her.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you know... A lot of people think it's like fancy,
And it gets that skin on the top.
It's the skin on the top.
Bit I like, yeah. Oh, yeah. But no, in fact, when...
Or mum's brownies.
When Linda started cooking, she asked me, what do you like? I said, I like rice pudding. So she looked it up in a recipe, and it wasn't the way I liked it.
It was fine, you know. It was like a posh French cookbook that had like egg in it and all these things.
Yeah, it was actually, yeah.
Do you have a bit of jam on the side?
Yeah. But I mean, so I rang up my Auntie Jin. Mm. I said, well, she always just made it. It seemed to be really easy. Yeah. So she just took...
She was the matriarch of the family.
Yeah, Auntie Jin. They called her Control...
Just Control.
Control. Have you spoken to Control about this? Anyway, she'd take a, like a baking dish kind of thing, like a Pyrex thing, and she'd just sprinkle rice. Short grain rice over the bottom of it, and then she'd put some sugar over that, and then she'd just put like a pint of milk over that, stick it in the oven.
Loved it.
And the milk all got
Was Auntie Jen quite important? I mean, I'm sure she was, but when your mum passed away, kind of, she became that.
She was. And Jen and Millie, Auntie Jen and Auntie Millie, they came round to the house because we were just three boys and my dad and two boys. And it was desperate times, really. Because you've never heard your dad cry until something like that happens, and he's in the next room. You hear him crying, you go, oh, God. Mm. It's so heart-wrenching. But they used to come round a couple of days a week, and so they get the great cooking, and they'd clean up.
Proper feeders. I went and stayed with Millie and Auntie Jin when I was, 16 with my friend Sue, and we went, and in the room, you're like this, Sunny, they had, the drawers for all the clothes, but the bottom drawer, she was like, I've left you some snacks, and you pull it open and it was full of crisps and snacks.
Love it.
And everything. Miles and then she'd give you some cash to go down to the chippy at the end of the road. So basically I think I came home about a stone heavier from that trip.
But Uncle Harry, they were a nice couple. He was a husband. And he was very Liverpool, All right, lad. I was doing all right. Very thick Liverpool accent he had, He was a builder. But he would, in the evenings, particularly on the day he got paid kind of thing, he'd come home with loads, pocketfuls of sweets and Mars bars and Aeros and crisps and all that.
Wow.
So us kids just loved it,
Really, thank you so much for having us and letting us feed you. Well, it's such a pleasure. Last question to you, McCartneys. Do you have good table manners? Do you think you've got good table manners? I mean, look, I'm not...
I've got my elbows on the table.
Mary's poured champagne in her ear.
I'm licking my fingers.
You know in the movie Aeroplane when they're I have a drinking problem and I do that all the time. I have to say, I think I have kind of good table manners, except I hate it when I cook for people and they just wait for me. I like people to eat things while they're hot.
Just get going.
So I'm not. So in that sense, I don't have good table manners because I'd rather start eating things when they're hot than waiting for everyone to sit down.
And you is have, it good, Dad. Is
I think
good
that's the American in you. I think.
I like that.
And I talk
Kiefer
over
Sutherland
everybody.
Kiefer Sutherland told us that you're supposed to eat when it's hot and not wait.
Yeah, I think it's one of those really posh you're supposed to eat.
You think it is?
So
it is. It is. Aristocratic, They just
eat when they sit down.
Do you think you have good table manners?
I think you've done all right. You have been known to
lick the plate sometimes.
I might lick the plate.
If it's good, why not? Get the last...
I might just, take the soup bowl.
Oh, absolutely.
Get that.
Thank you for having us. Mum, you need to ask these two what their karaoke song is.
Do you sing karaoke ever?
You know what?
Not often, but
if you had to, what would your favourite song be?
Sing karaoke.
Not Beatles. You're not allowed to choose one of your
own. Not allowed to do Beatles. No, I think it'd have to be My Way.
Oh, would it?
And now the time has come. That one.
Yeah,
because you would be drunk singing it that way if you were doing
karaoke.
So,
yeah, that's the only thing,
Margaritas.
I think because I can't get up in front of people and sing, I would have to do it with people quite drunk, with some friends, and I'd probably do We Are Family or
Islands in a Stream or something like that.
Yeah, I like that.
And so I'd have to have somebody with me.
Would you?
Yeah. Because the thing is, I was really excited at Stella's wedding, they had karaoke, and I was like, I'm going to do karaoke for the first time. And then Chrissy Hynde got up and sang.
Oh, bloody hell.
And then Charlene Spiteri got up and sang. And then I did not do any karaoke that night.
They should have sat that one out. I'm sorry.
But the thing about karaoke is the worse you are, the better it is.
Absolutely. So much better.
I mean, if you're a good singer, it's like no point. You just go la, 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 la. Yeah, but if you're not, I love the people who are out of tune. You know, that's like, this is good karaoke.
Yeah, I went to this amazing charity thing ages ago at Ronnie Scott's, and they did like a charity karaoke, and Nick Cave did Bootylicious, which was probably one of the best karaoke things I've ever seen in my life.
He couldn't slow it down either, could he? Oh my god! I can imagine how fantastic that was. Bootylicious had never sounded so profound. Thank you for having us. Thank you for letting us be in your lovely offices, share a meal with you. I'm going to have one, definitely. And so the book is out.
Book is out.
On the 24th of June, I think.
Yes. So we've got Meat Free Mondays. Mm-hmm. Let's plug. Meat Free Mondays, Linda McCartney Foods. Mm-hmm. We've got the new plant-based milks. We've got the new Linda McCartney Family Cooking Cookbook.
Right.
And we've got my cooking show, Mary McCartney Serves It Up, on Discovery Plus.
We've covered all the bases there. Great.
And McCartney 3.
Oh,
out now.
Oh, yeah. And also the remix kind of reimagined.
Oh, reimagined. Yeah, the reimagined so ones.
That's Dominic Fyke. Oh,
yeah, Dominic Fyke's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, all of it. You're a busy family. I thought we were quite busy, but yeah, I think the McCartneys have just trumped us.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Mm. Thank you.
Thanks
yeah,
for
really.
Cooking.
Thanks for cooking, Mom.
Just gonna say, Paul McCartney just had three of your squares, ate all your food, had a lovely time. Mary McCartney's a bit pissed now. I love it.
Yeah, it's when she pulled the.
I love it. That made me happy because that was like exactly the kind of thing that I would have done if I was able to drink. They are such a lovely duo.
Fabulous.
What a family.
Lovely, lovely family.
Not going to lie, I'm not proud of our little moment.
Sorry, darling.
I'm sorry too. Listen.
But the thing was, she was talking to me and I was trying to get food served up. I've got the worst back that ever knew. And what you don't know is the fucking microwave didn't work. Did you not know? So they had to go down to the basement to heat the food.
Oh, Beth, Mum.
Oh, drama going on.
Wow, God.
I mean, I'm cooking under conditions here.
Listen,
so
well done.
So I was already
done.
Bad-tempered with my back and the microwave.
You didn't even let on to them. You are a pro, a consummate professional, Mum. No one knows that you have a bad back. That was particularly special. Not
it's
only
wonderful.
Because we are now left in Paul McCartney's office saying thank you for coming, goodbye.
And your child's just been named.
And my child has just been named. Basically, Paul McCartney decided on the name. I said, well, my husband really wants this name. He said, well, should I just write it and then it's done, deal? And I thought, I'm going to take that leap of faith because it's Paul McCartney. Yeah. So now I have a signed book for my son, my future son, and that is the name. And we can say that it was Paul McCartney, a Beatle, that named you.
Yeah.
Over Chili Non Carney, thank you Linda McCartney, and Mary egging him on. Loved it. It felt like we were in our natural habitat.
Yeah, darling.
It was lovely. I very much enjoyed this. I've got very rosy cheeks, and I haven't even
touched
got the.
Very rosy
I think
cheek.
We're all a bit flushed from being with Paul McCartney.
A superstar.
But yeah, thank you. I hope you all enjoyed that. I know that you're all going to live for that argument that Mum and I had. So Mum has asked for it to come out, but it won't because
Alice will make me not sound too bad.
And
I was working under difficult conditions.
I feel like I can breathe now. Basically, we've had a house party in their office. Now we're pissing off and it's been fabulous.
And we don't have to wash up.
Oh my.
She said, leave it all.
The music you've heard on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.